May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. A few months ago, we spent some time in Matthew 11, but the Holy Spirit's been nagging me the last couple of days to do some look back in here again, so I did. So there's something I want us to see. It begins in verse 1. And it came about that when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one coming, the coming one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and then are raised up, and the poor of the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me, or blessed is he who's not offended with me." And as these were going away, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who's more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John." Couple of things. Just a reminder that John's offense wasn't just that Jesus was not doing it the way he thought. That wasn't just a stumbling. John was stumbled over grace. John's message was a message of repentance. He was calling people to lay down their sin. Jesus is going out healing the sick. He's confronting people's brokenness. He's confronting the effects of the fall in their life, and he's healing them. He's making them whole, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And that offended John. He was offended with grace. And then Jesus, as he began to talk about John and affirm John, he said some interesting things about him. He says, "What is it that you went out to see?" Basically, he's saying, did you think you went out to see some wimpy-looking person? Some reed shaking in the wind? Someone dressed up in fancy clothes? I mean, John the Baptist was a classic lion-killing Old Testament prophet. And then Jesus said this verse, this thing in verse 11, we've looked at this, but I want you to see something maybe a little different. Just offer this to you. "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there's not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And we've kind of always seen that as least in the kingdom of heaven, no matter how insignificant you might be, that you're greater than John because of you're going to be in Christ. John never knew that. All the resources of heaven are going to be yours because of your union with Jesus. And John never experienced that. And so even the most insignificant, most uneducated, most not have something to offer the world, that person is greater than John the Baptist. Well, there's truth to that. But I decided to do some word study, and the word least there is like the word like little kid. I think what he's saying actually is John the Baptist, like all the Old Testament prophets, is this powerful person. But it's those who become like little children. They're the ones who are going to be greater than all these great prophets. Now, what does that mean? The littlest. John 19 says, or Matthew 19, I'm sorry, in the same book, so that's easy. Acts 18. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, repeatedly saying to him, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a little child to himself. That's the word, little child. And he stood in their midst and he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you change and become like a little child, you will not explore the kingdom of heaven. For whoever humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, what has Jesus just been doing? His story about John was offended with grace. And then Jesus talks about John, how great he was as the Old Testament prophet, the last of the Old Testament prophet, and he was no sissy when you went out to see him. He was a tough character, fire-breathing Old Testament prophet. And yet he says, in the realm of grace, in the kingdom of grace, is the little child, the one who has the faith of a little child, who humbles himself and gives up on their own ability to do anything, takes the burden off themselves and absolutely looks to him and believes him for everything without question. A little child will believe anything. Now, I've told the story before. I used to tell my children the worst lies in the world just to play with them, and they believed everything I told them. And one of them was when we would drive to the beach and we would hit these places where there were like acres and acres and miles of pine trees between the small towns. And they would go, "Dad, what town is this?" And I'd say, "Treeville." And then every time we'd hit that section again, "Where is this?" "This is Treeville." And after a while they'd go, "Treeville's a really large place." I said, "Yeah, it really is." And they believed that until they were like 12. And I would do stuff like that with them because little children will believe anything. That's what grace is about. It's about not trying. It's about giving up on trying and trusting, not pushing, not taking the burden on you, but being like a little child, knowing that apart from him, you can do nothing. That's, I believe, what he's saying. And I believe the very next verse has possibly been misunderstood a lot too. Because remember the continuation, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and violent men take it by force." That's no longer true. No more fire-breathing prophet kind of stuff. We're now in the kingdom of grace. It's not the violent men that take it by force. He just got through telling us it's the little one. It's the little one who's greater than John the Baptist. That's the context here. And I believe that's what he's saying. And so when we think about what God's doing right now on the earth, what God's doing in our midst, so what do? Trust. Be like a little child and trust. Don't push, don't try, don't try to work it up. Just trust, like a little child. Dare to believe. Risk everything on him, because there's nothing you can offer other than your trust, your surrender. That's why I love the whole thing about the obedience of Christ, participating. We're just surrendering to that and going for the ride. Do you see this? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force until now. John the Baptist was the last of that kind. It's now the little one, the little child, who will just believe that is greater than the greatest prophet who ever lived. You might say, "But Bishop, I had all these issues and I've got this past." Well, no, you don't have the past because you have his record. Do you understand that? "No, but I've got this past." No, you don't. God doesn't know what you're talking about, so you think you're smarter than he is? Sorry. "No, it can't be that good. It can't be that big. It can't be that free." Why? You think God would leave some of it up to you to earn your way out of that pile you were in? Of course it's that big. Of course it's that good. That's why he calls it the good news. "Yeah, but I've got issues." Yeah, but he doesn't. And he's the one you're counting on. He's not counting on you. This is Romans. He's the one you're counting on. He's not counting on you. "And the first piece of dough will be holy. And if it is, the lump is also. And if the root, Jesus, is holy, the branches are too." Oh, you mean the branches are holy because the root's holy? And because you're attached to the root that's holy, you're holy? Yep. "But if some of the branches were broken off and you became a wild olive, you were grafted among them and became partakers with them of the rich root, Jesus, of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant towards the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root. It's the root that supports you." That's the gospel of the kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Aren't you grateful to know that nothing disqualifies you from experiencing it all except not believing? That's it? That's the only disqualification?